This is the Reflector Reflections podcast. My name is Annie. Join me as we journey around the world talking with fellow human design enthusiasts, specifically reflectors, as they experiment and navigate their unique design. Today's beautiful conversation is with Casey, a 4-6 reflector with the cross of the four ways. Beautiful Casey is a fellow Australian, though she's residing over in Mexico currently, and is the leading lady of the Self Wellness Project. Can't wait to get into sharing your story, Casey. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
And you'd kind of been coming up in my space for a while, so I thought I'm going to reach out and, hey, can you want to come and have a chat with me? And here you are. So thank you.
Yeah, it's same as we were just talking before. The reflected community is so small. So I was also aware of you.
Now, as we do on this, I created this for the simple purpose of sharing our stories. So I want to hear your story. And we start with, how did human design find you, or you find human design?
Well, I think like a lot of reflectors, you know, because I'm a human design reader, so I work with a lot of reflectors. And a lot of them say that they often kind of come into human design through other means. And I did the same. Like I was called to be an intuitive and psychic healer. So, you know, every time I would go to intuitive healers, they would tell me like, oh, you're really sensitive and rare. You need to share your gifts. And so I started training and deconditioning and doing all of that through intuition training as I became a healer in that. And then I came across human design through a few different people. And so eventually, you know, when it comes calling, I was like, okay, I need to investigate this. And then I completely switched into human design because it made so much more sense than intuition healing. Mm-hmm. Rather than, you know, reading intuitively or being psychic, the mirror part or mirroring a person's entire energy makes so much more sense, I think. Mm-hmm. So then I like trained to become a human design reader and then switched over, and this is my second year.
Wow. And how did that feel for you finding this? I guess you were just saying there that you'd kind of already been on this deconditioning process through other means, but how did it feel for you to be confronted with this blank chart and this is what it said?
Yeah, it's so validating. And like many reflectors who I work with, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm not crazy, you know, and that's the biggest thing. And once you kind of like step into that, it just gets stronger and stronger and stronger, you know, and it just validates so many of your experiences and all these, you know, things that you feel that you can't explain, you know, through that you do through your whole life. So, you know, I found out in my late 30s. So, you know, I've already lived a very big part of my life. And being a 4-6 reflector, I, you know, moved abroad at 19. I was like such a line six, you know, and I've lived in like 5 different countries and traveled to more than 40. I'm like, yeah, that's so me, you know. So there just was so many parts, yeah. Not even just about the reflection part. There's just so much that explains our general behaviors. I really love it as a tool, and that's why I was so engaged in using it. Even though I tend to take a less spiritual approach than most people, it's just such a useful tool, and I want people to use it more as a tool. You know, you don't have to become a human design believer for it to be useful. So I very much try to like share it with other people as well.
So you don't, you know, recruit people to your cult.
No, exactly.
I always say to people, you want to become a part of my cult? Some people think I'm serious. But I love what you were saying there about how you've taken that little bit of a journey back to go, oh my gosh, I was really in my line three. Can you take us back even further to little Casey and growing up? What was that like for you?
Yeah, you know, I come from a pretty, you know, traumatic childhood, you know, lots of divorce, lots of things that happened. And, you know, I look back and I developed like OCD by the age of like 12 or 13. And then I like got rid of it myself by the age of 15, you know. So, and I look back at what that possibly was. And, you know, general psychology will explain the same thing, you know, like childhood trauma or unstable environments will create that. But if I look back exactly again through the lens of a reflector, all of the energy I must have been just absorbing on my nervous system, you know, and just not, you know, not having those tools of how to decompress your energy or to come back to yourself. You're just this child absorbing everything all around you. And actually, like, even later on, you know, like being a young woman and the feelings of older men watching you, just like dirty things like ew, or the diets and the body issues, you know. And I look back and I'm like, wow, like at the age of, I was just writing in my diary yesterday because I'm putting together a book about it, just like, wow, at the age of 7 I was so aware of diets and body, and I'm like, that's not possible for a 7-year-old to be that aware of it. And so even as I just go back through my story, through the lens of what I know now, I'm like, I wonder if that was because I was reflecting and looking back, there was like anorexic people around me then. I'm like, wow, was I reflecting their body issues? Like, anyway, there's just so many different ways. And I'm still processing it, right? It'll take so long to go through. And this is why I'm writing this book, and like anyone should journal past experiences, because you really pick up things that maybe you didn't realize before. So it's definitely an interesting experiment.
It can be a really uncomfortable journey, can't it? Going back, because it's like, oh, this makes sense now. And then you start digging into it. You're like, oh my gosh, there's such a self-forgiveness aspect to that, not just of you, but of others, to just think, oh my gosh, I was just picking up on all of this. And I guess when we sit with this more, and the more I listen, the more I'm in my space as well, I'm very selective now about what comes into my, because I am highly conditionable, you know, and I know that now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like how they're always like, make sure you're in a good environment. And like, well, that makes sense to everyone. But it's like you say, once you really become attuned to it, you're like, oh, people really make you feel icky, you know. And the difference when you're just with a healed person, oh my, like, because you can feel stuck energy, it's like it hurts your stomach, or it feels like a blockage, or, you know, and it's tiring. So even I'm like, now, you know, what I call the reflector pod, you know, you need your 3 or 4 close people, and everyone else can only ever be an acquaintance. And I know that sounds bad, but it's like, you just can't have that many people in your close space, and they have to be so vetted anyway that honestly there's not that many people who are at that level of healing either. That's and so amazing. Also, we lose a lot of friends, and we will progress. I mean, I'm still only stepping into all this, but I can already see how much that, like, so many things have to constantly shed away, because you will always reach a level with people and they can't go further. They're just not there yet. And then it's just too uncomfortable to be around you. And it's really sad, but there's just nothing we can do. So yeah, this like very small circle of very healed people and very good environments ends up becoming your health. So.
Yeah, I was only just talking with a fellow reflector friend about this just this week, exactly this, to this depth of level, just saying, it can often feel like a bit of a lonely path sometimes too, where when you get into this space of letting people go, and it's not so much that anyone's healed more than others in these, it's just often we change so much. Have you experienced that in your life? It's just that you're saying that you've lived in 5 different countries, so you like change. You like San Diego too.
Surprise!
Yeah. How did that happen for you? May I ask? May I sort of like segue us back? Because this is a question. How did you end up where you are now? I want to know.
Well, yeah, like, again, I think absorbing a lot of wishes of my parents, you know, like my mum, who always wanted to travel. And I grew up, I think, just absorbing so much of her. But then I did travel, loved it, because it is surprise. Like, literally new experiences, new food, new restaurants, new sites. Like, that's how I stay so alive in my life, you know. And once I got a little taste, I was hooked. And so you know, and then I just kind of bounced around. You know, I was in London for a couple of years. I was in Turkey for 6 years. I went to Spain and then Mexico, and all because of different reasons. Sometimes because I got a job or relation, you know, meeting people. But it just like if I ever felt bored, I'd be like, I'll just go to another country, or I'll just travel, or try a new food. So, and I still do it, even though I'm on the roof, apparently. I mean, I've taken a step back, but like you still need to go out there and try new things and travel and eat new things. I don't know if that's because I'm particularly a line six and if other people feel different, but I think for all reflectors, that's a really easy way to get a daily surprise, you
Yeah.
know, eating, doing something new.
I've heard a lot of this, you know, especially the yearning to travel or be in different places where nobody knows you. It's like you can truly be yourself because no one's there beside you, because each of our people in our lives know a certain version of us. But to travel on your own to experience all that, is that how it kind of has felt for you? It's like you can really show up as yourself.
You're so right. I was just thinking about that yesterday, like, because Mexico City has almost the same population as all of Australia. And I was like, what do I love about it? And it's that feeling of being anonymous. I was like, just yesterday, I was like, it's that anonymous thing. And you're right, it's exactly for travel. It is just, you can completely detach
Yeah.
from the world around you, you know? I mean, just listen in when you want, but yeah. I do find that, like, you know how they talk about the Teflon aura? And so many projectors come and they're like, oh, I'm so jealous of the Teflon aura. I'm like, that's not how it works. Many reflectors have been subconsciously absorbing energy for years and years. It's not that just energy rolls off us, it's that, you know, people who are close to us, I think they will always, they just get through that Teflon. They're just, no way you can stop it. Also, I'm a line four and have gate 19, so I'm particularly attuned to people's needs, so that might be it. But like, you know, the Teflon aura does come into play when you're among strangers, but that's the only time I've felt it, right? I think with friends and close people, it's just reading energy. But I really do feel that ability to turn off, like in a concert or, you know, traveling. And I think that explains why I've also been quite fine in crowds, you
Yeah.
know, like I've never really been so bothered by crowds. That's the only way I've come to explain the Teflon aura.
Yeah, I
Anyway.
really dislike the word Teflon. I think that's so toxic. But it is very, I agree with what you're saying. Sometimes it is, it can just take over. But I think when we become very attuned to it, it's just like Teflon in the sense of just, you can literally just go, yep, nah, and just drop it. It's like you may have
That's it.
taken on someone's accent, taken on their mannerisms. And then all of a sudden you're away and you just drop it.
Yeah.
It doesn't stick. Sometimes it does if it's constantly conditioning you though, but that's people.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. That's true. I've also been able to feel like an emotional shutdown, like someone's having an emotional thing. I'm like, too much. And I'm just like, don't care. It's not that I don't care, but you have to just put that, like, nah, I can't get involved. So yeah, I guess that we do have that ability to turn off sometimes. But yeah, it is interesting.
It's fun. And the more because you get into a lot of this and I'd love to hear your viewpoint on that. You know, when you start studying this, you can become like quite fixated on, oh my gosh, it's very much a mind game, isn't it? But the lived experience is like, oh, I can relax. How's that experience been for you?
Yeah, you mean like integrating what it means or
Yeah.
what we're studying? Yeah, I think, like, you know, a lot of reflectors talk about it. The information out there for reflectors is not great. You know, it feels like it's a lot of it's rote. Even what Ra talks about, it feels like he's just repeating what he heard, but he didn't really embody what it means. And so these kind of explanations are still going round and round, you know, like, I think I read at the beginning, like, reflectors don't have their own personality. And I was like, well, that's not real. If you ask my friends, they're going to be like, she's like got such a strong character. And so when you first read a lot of the stuff, it just doesn't align with you, you know, or it's like, some stuff is just like, wow. and other stuff. Like I have a personality, and you know, I am my own self, and I do have consistency. You know, like I've loved writing. I went back through so many diaries and workbooks, even back to a little kid, and there's just stories everywhere. And I have gate 33 and gate 35, but I'm like, that's consistency. Like consistently, you know, so when they're like, you have no consistency, you have no personality, I'm like, you reject certain parts of it. But as you do integrate it, I do see how you can kind of like come to a deeper understanding, or you just interpret it through your own lens, you know, or your own interpretation of it.
Yeah.
You really do, even just what it means to mirror, it's still like, I mostly understand it, but there's still time, like the line five, like sometimes I can see that they've got the double aura, you know, or there's that projection field, but sometimes I can't tell if I'm reflecting, you know, if I'm projecting or I'm reflecting, you know? So there's still parts I'm like, okay, still so much to integrate and learn for it to make more sense.
Yeah. And I think it's always going to change depending on who you're with, what type. I know when I was first starting, I was really, I don't want to say afraid, but in a way I was like, oh my gosh, because that was the first thing that really hit me, landed to me going, oh, you're just a mirror. You know, again, it was very dismissive. It's very dismissive language, isn't it? And so I became hyper aware of, oh my gosh, I need to make sure I'm not in a bad mood, because what if I'm, these were the things that poor little Annie all these years ago were walking into spaces going, shit. Now it's like I just show up. And I do notice sometimes where people, it's more not if I'm in a bad mood or anything, but it's more if they're in a bad mood. And sometimes it can, they'll scowl. And I've learned, I don't know if in your experience, but I've learned to just not take any of that personally now. I just go, that's you, not me. I'm responsible for this. You're responsible for that. That's my line five really coming out though. I'm just going, fuck it. What else can you do? Once your reputation is burnt, it's done. It's like freedom.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a dilemma I also have too about that particular thing, because it's like, as reflectors as well, it's like people do come at you and it's really hard, because I don't, you know, you have to be careful of like the God complex or whatever they call it, right? Like a projector in their not self could go around and be like, well, everyone doesn't like me because, you know, they've got issues, but it could be the reflector just being a like bitch, do you know what I mean? So it's like, and you're right. It's like, you kind of have to be like, is this, this way, that way, am I projecting, are they projecting? And I'm certainly as well like trying to detach from that and be like, that's just about them. But I always try and do a little check-in, but like, but is it about me?
Yeah.
You know, just anyway, yeah, I'm still in that stage too, you know, like, is it me, am I the problem?
That's a song.
that's a song for reflective and projective.
No, I think the song actually goes, it's me, I'm the problem, isn't it? Taylor Swift song.
Yes.
So no, we don't want that. We don't want to be the problem. But sometimes maybe
she's
we
a
are.
Projector, so. So yeah, maybe it is.
Maybe it is.
Maybe she is the problem.
And getting into that, like that profile of yours, that 4-6, finding that and sort of starting to get into that study of it, how has that been for you?
Yeah, like when you understand that your profile line is really related to like your career path, or where what I like to call your success niche is, because that's something you're naturally going to be learning, and the way you're learning it over your lifetime, you're literally building knowledge. Mm-hmm. So that really, and especially for reflectors, I do a lot of career readings with reflectors. Like it's so interesting to look at that, because this is again where we can draw from consistency. What have you consistently, like line one, have you studied over your lifetime? There'll be something that you've probably, or various things you've been pulled to. And so as a line six, obviously it's like, what from my experiences can I bring into my career? That is the knowledge that only I know, right? And then the line four, which again, it's like, okay, I don't need to market. Who do I know? But also a lot of things have changed in the modern world too, right? Like what's a line for network in a digital world? Or, you know, or like, yeah, so many questions. Or like, you know, what's a projector invite in a digital world, right? Or a reflector invite in a digital world? Like, so it's also still kind of redefining a lot of things too. And, you know, sometimes things don't align. Like for line four, you know, you're never meant to leave one thing before having another. Like never leave a job, a relationship, a home. But I'm like, that's just not real life. Like people break up with you, you lose your job in one day. Like I can't be like, oh, but that's my line four. You know, I better hold on to this relationship. You know, no.
But I guess, you know, it also depends on what phase you are in the six too, because that third unconscious third line wants to experiment. So there's a big contradiction in itself at times, wouldn't there? It's
that's
like, I
so
just want
true.
To experience
exactly.
It.
Exactly. That's true. Right. So, you know, all these nuances and interpretations that everyone has to come up with themselves. And this is why I take using human design as a tool, because yeah. I just get getting turned too much into like, this is your purpose and it has to be this way. I'm like, as a line four in my 20s, exactly, I literally did kind of go relationship to relationship to relationship. And I was in such an extreme thing of like, you know, self-attachment, putting my self-value in these relationships. I have a completely open heart. So I had to, now I'm like single and I forced myself. I was like, you're not dating for a year. And without that break, I never would have deconditioned and healed so much of that bad behavior, that line 19, line four, need to be loved, open heart, low self-value. Like I had to heal all those things. So no, line fours should not necessarily go from relationship to relationship or job to job. And I also got to like taking a break from work. I could completely realign my whole life to become a healer and go into like reflection, you know? So there's some things I'm like, yeah, I align with it. And some things it's like, well, just take it with a grain of salt and take it how it applies to your life. So
that is really the experiment, hey. Just experiment, yeah. Just play with it.
Well, I want to ask you more about line five, because like before when I said like, do you think that reflectors can see through line five projections? Can you see it because you're a line five? Like, how does that work?
Yes and no. Yes, but then sometimes it could be a double projection, because there have been other fives that are in my space and I feel really comfortable with them, because it's just like there's no projection field, because we're in this state, and I don't know how to explain it. It's just like we enter into the bubble and there's such a realism. However, and I'm just generalizing saying this. Say, for example, three fives. I find that three fives can throw a projection on me really quickly. And I see it now, whereas in the past I wouldn't. But it's like, I guess that comes with experience and time of just going, what am I willing to do for you? And how authentic am I showing up in my day-to-day life? Because old Annie would very much like, I'll take everything on. Oh, yeah, you want me to do that? Sure, I'll do that. And then I couldn't deliver. So again, there's a projection of somebody throwing it. And so I kind of reversed it. So I guess for me it's very different. But I mean, like you, I've been playing in this for a while and just going, I can't worry about, because everyone talks about the projection field and a lot of fifth lines will and second lines will just throw it and go, oh, I mean, it's a projection field. And it's very dismissive as well. It's like, you know, some reflectors as well, we've all done it. We've just gone, I'm just a reflector.
But my sins are forgiven.
Yeah, that's it. I can do anything I want now because I'm just reflector. And I think I have actually even said that in some times of going, well, it's not me, I'm just reflecting you. And I'm thinking, oh, fuck, Annie, that's a bit cringy all those years ago. But anyway, live and learn. All the third lines in my chart, I'm accepting those at the moment too. But, yes, I think for somebody outside of a fifth line, because, you know, I mean, you've probably got five lines in your chart as well. It's more about watching it come at you because you'll see, and this person, in a way, it's a feeling, and I go, oh, here we go. They've put me on a pedestal and they're about to want something from me, and I'm probably not going to be able to deliver that. And so that's, I think I can sense that now, and I can be clear and say, I just want to ask you, is this what you're expecting, or is there some way that you can get this outside of me?
Yeah.
Does that make a bit more sense? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And now you've just given me, this is why sharing stories is so interesting. Now you've given me something to know, to look for as well, that projection. Yeah, it's, yeah, I love to, because it is, line five is after reflectors, I think it's just line five are the ones who like need to talk the most and who get the most. And then line twos, right? Like just all this stuff that doesn't make sense to you. But yeah, yeah, interesting. Okay, something to watch for.
It just happens in life too. Like we see somebody through our own lens, I suppose. It's like outside of human design, which you know. And we see things through our own lens, and when we want something, even unconsciously, we'll kind of like expect somebody, or we'll look up to somebody, and when they can't deliver, disappointment. There we go. Let's have a chat about disappointment.
Disappointment.
Disappointment. How has that felt for you in your life? Because it's a big thing.
It's a big thing. And yeah, like obviously as a line four, it's probably highlighted, but yeah, I mean, you're just disappointed of people just not doing better. And also when you give so much, you, like I said, because I'm line five, gate 19, gate 50, like it's just all there. So just very needy my whole life and working on that. But reflective brain.
Yeah, where did that thought go? I love it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Disappointment.
Disappointment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So disappointment in people, just like not giving back what you give to them. And when you're not aware of being a reflector and you've energetically been giving this for years, when you start taking space, this is also where a lot of the loss comes. They're like, wait, you're not here for me all the time anymore. And they can't give you that space. Even like really your family, close friends, they're just not used to you taking that space. And after all you've given, they will still turn on you. And it's just so deeply disappointing. And so, of course, reflectors are going to have to get used to letting go, but not getting caught in that disappointment. And then there's just the general disappointment in mankind. Because, like, you know, like I was married for 12 years and I got divorced, and I'd never been on the apps before, ever, right? Because I got married in my late 20s. And so just coming back into the dating world, how disappointed I was at the behaviors that people are doing to each other. I'm like, they're just caught in this big cycle of like ghosting each other, treating each other bad, then crying over it, then ghosting the next person. You know, it's just, I'm like, how do we fix this, you know? Or, you know, so there's just lots of general disappointment. And I think this is why Ra talks a lot about reflectors have to rise above everything, or the program, or whatever you want to call it. But like, there is no other way a reflector will survive and get out of that disappointment if you don't just rise up, you just shake it off, rise above it, and that's it. Like, you just can't live in this world, I don't think.
Yeah. And, you know, I found recently it can be as simple as just shaking it off. It's just literally just going, it's not mine, not attaching to it anymore, just letting it go. I'm super curious. Dating in this day and age, oh, gosh, dating as a informed reflector. I'm sure you've got a story.
I'll be honest, I've been on one date and that was awful. They just, I mean, I'm trying, like I'm on the apps and doing the talk, the whatever they want to call it. But like, you know, actual meeting, every time I get to that stage, I can already kind of tell like, no.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then I did go to one and they're just like, oh my gosh, this guy, I think we both knew it wasn't anything, but he's just like telling me how he cheats all the time and he's like so in love with his ex-girlfriend and like I'm just like, why are you telling me this? And then when it finished, he literally, like he came out of a dream. He's like, oh my gosh, I have never had such an honest conversation with someone. I'm like, dude, it was the first date. Like,
and you need to pay for that. That's a session right there.
I was like, oh, I'm going to be, I need to put on, my Tinder profile is going to be like Tinder therapy or like the Tinder healer or something. Like, I'm not going to date. I'm just going to go and try and help them.
That's very interesting that you had that experience because it's just like suddenly he could relax. It's like the energy sometimes does, doesn't it? It's just, it falls into you. It's just like, oh my gosh, finally I can just, here we go. I'm just about to dump. That's why we're therapists, friend. That's why we are therapists because we can't outrun it. It's just, well, we might as well do it for work.
That's exactly why I went into this. I'm like, look, when people do it for free, it kills all your energy. You know, like I had so many people that were draining my energy. I was always rejecting healing. I was like, no, I just couldn't possibly take on anyone else's problems. Once I got rid of that, I was like, you know, actually, I just need to get paid for it. That's all. Like I do it naturally. We're all meant to be rewarded for living our design. It's just that you just need to cut the freebies off.
Yeah.
And just be like, okay, I have to make all my energy will go into making this my career, you know?
Value your worth.
It's the only way. And so many reflectors come to me because all they want to know is how can I make money?
Yeah.
Right?
What can I do?
The same. Yeah.
And I love that, you know, you started with that. That's a beautiful way for a reflector to really feel empowered because just what you were explaining there before about using the tools that you have to guide them through it. She's like, I'm not telling you, but here you go. Have a think about this. So that kind of leads us into, can you share with us what you're doing in your space, in your little bubble?
So, you know, I will say like I've worked online as a content and digital marketer for like 15 years before I think the word digital nomad even existed. So like I do some of that on the side and I'm just like, you know, this is my second year into kind of like starting all of this stuff. Well, like last year was more intuition side. And then I was like, no, I'm going to like build up everything for human design. And so, you know, number one for reflectors, you should have to get passive income. So I tried to build a model for that. And then to, you know, so there's something coming in while I can build, you know, the therapy side. Because this is the problem is like on one side, you still have to get your name out there. People still, it's a personal thing. They have to know you and stuff like this. So it's not like you just step into a new career. You know, yeah. So it's still going slow and we are slow.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, I build out some like human design tools. I'm really trying to make human design cheap, affordable, simple, you know. So I created a 10-page report. I'm like, no one wants to read a 100-page report, right? It's more about your experiments anyway. And anyway, it's also you need to really just get a reading. Because there's nothing that can talk about how everything comes together unless you bring it as a whole. So none of these, you know, other things can really explain that for you. So I'm like, honestly, just a cheap introduction to human design and then try and focus on bringing it more into people's lives through face-to-face.
Yeah.
So that's the plan. And I'm trying to de-spiritualize these things so people don't run away from it because it's a bit cultish right now. You know, and very strict and so many rules. Like I've been kicked out of human design groups because I said that projectors could be seen. Like it's a digital world, you know. Projectors have to initiate their own businesses. Reflectors will have to initiate their own businesses. So anyway, I'm trying to like just change the vibe a little bit about it. But ultimately, I kept it very open, as every reflector should, because we're going to change identity many more times. That's why the self-wellness project is very broad And soon I'm like starting a podcast and writing a book because, you know, as I said, like gate 33 is in my incarnation cross. So I'm just trying to find lots of different ways to get stories and healing and reflections out. Also, I have power perspective. So it's very much about judging, analyzing, measuring, and bringing this together through stories and healing. So the self-wellness project will just be a kind of like eventually a library of resources for people to do self-healing. It has to be through self, right? We have to move away from one-for-all approaches and teach people how to heal themselves, how to find their own career, they have to do it themselves, right? We have to come to that's, and that's what very much self-wellness is. We all have to take responsibility and learn what our body is telling us. So it's all that, it's all very open. I'm doing a lot of things but just dedicated to the mission. Yeah. I'm just going to help heal people. And, you know, if you do intuition and talk to guides or whatever, you know, they've always told me, you know, don't ever make it about money. Don't ever worry about money. Only worry about that you are helping people and healing people, and we'll look after the rest. And I'm like, that's it. Just has to be about the healing. And every reflector eventually and every projector will have to come and stand into this role. And I know there's not recognition for these roles yet, but it's changing. You know, we're seeing people increasingly needing tools to, they're ready for it. They're ready to heal. They're ready to face this thing. They're ready to take control of their life. So, you know, all of us can start creating these tiny little businesses or just be seen for when that day comes that there's going to be a need for each of our individual type of healing, right? People who go to you might not come to me, right? Like, just because we're both reflectors, we're still going to have our own people, our own audience, just people who are only going to align with us. So there's room for everybody. Absolutely. You know? Or, yeah.
I love that. We all just bring our own special sauce from our own experience, because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. I love what you're saying there. And I wanted to ask you as well, because you're in Mexico City, is there, what's the culture, human design culture like there, opposed to, say, you know, the States? Have you found a difference?
Yeah, like, because it's also majority Spanish here too. Yeah. So, like, I'm not, like, working in Spanish yet, even though I can kind of do it in Spanish. But definitely it's growing, but it's not as big as in Australia and the States. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty normal for all of these kind of new age approaches and tools and stuff like that. So, but, you know, I think as well, like I saw another reflector from Byron Bay, where I also used to grow up, like they're doing retreats in Mexico. So, I mean, you know, it will start, like there's stuff for foreigners, I would say.
Yeah, like that's interesting.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of people sort of ask, and I think I started to do it and then it just got a little bit hard. They asked, obviously, is there more human design in Spanish? You know, can you put subtitles on in Spanish so that people, because I talk too fast, but it was always something. And I'm kind of like revisiting that again and going, yeah, I did drop the ball there. So for anybody listening in Spanish and the other languages, I think it's something I need to bring in. So there's a need. I think that there's a need. And you're pretty fluent in Spanish.
Yeah, I could do one. It just wouldn't be as good. And then, you know.
The pressure. Oh, my God, the pressure. I just threw something at you. It's just like, yeah. Do you have anything else that you'd like to share before we wrap up, dear Casey? Is there anything that you'd like to?
I think, you know, like just for reflectors, I think for everyone, like definitely trying to empower reflectors. And, you know, although we really do have to be careful about, you know, making sure we're invited or being aware of where they are in their process. But people are going to want this. You know, they're going to want to be pulled out of their, you know, station, you know, where their state today and just like, boom, jump forward 10 years, you know. And so I know so many reflectors just are always like, what can I do? How can I do this? And it's like, really, just start. Start sharing your reflections on social media. Just start, and it will come one day. And I think it's really a time for reflectors to kind of like go out and start doing these things And, you know, just reflect. Whenever they're like, what should I do with the job? I'm just like, just reflect. Just be a reflector.
I love that you say, and it's just mentioning that about the, you know, inviting of reflectors, because it's been kind of murmuring in this space of just going, sometimes we can give our opinions a little bit before people are ready. And so someone was sharing, you know, the we shouldn't have to be invited. And I'm like, well, in a way, it's okay, because sometimes we can go in like with a big flaming sign and stick it right in front of someone's face and it can cut them. It's like, oh, you didn't say that. So waiting for them, I think, to come to us can be a nicer way of getting the message to land. Do you agree?
Yeah. Well, I think this is why I say you have to share it, because ultimately it's just going to be better to attract than to like to try and find it. And, you know, because reflectors do want to reflect. They're just urgent. I know, I can feel it inside. They're just dying to reflect. And you can drop truth bombs. I call them my little truth bombs. If you're willing to lose that friendship, go ahead, drop all the truth bombs you want. But otherwise, I think it's just better to wait, you know, and or just, that's why I say share your reflections so you can attract people, because there are people who want to be jumped like that. Yeah. Yeah, that did not sound right. But
we get what you mean.
It's like hitting a wall, right? But people, I've had people being like, thank you so much, you saved me years of therapy, right? Just try and attract those people and you'll be able to reflect to your heart's content and you'll be appreciated.
Yeah.
And the people who aren't ready for that, I actually am finding it's hard to be around them, you know, because they've reached their limit. And even as a reflector, you're just like, it just gets so frustrating after, like, so, you know, everyone has to play around with this, I think, but it's definitely better to attract. So that's why I say, get out there, be public. Attract people for what you can do.
I love that. That is actually a really, really beneficial tip to just, myself included, to hear that, just going, yes, that's actually really true. We can get caught behind our own bullshit, but we have this deep yearning sometimes to just say things or just come out there and talk about stuff. And then if people vibe with it, they vibe with it. And then you're allowed to express your truth. I love that.
Yes, that's so how simple. A reflector blossoms.
Yeah, blossoms, not truth bombs.
Yeah, oh, that's a good one.
Thank you so very much for sitting in space with me. It was lovely to actually meet you and have this chat. And maybe when you're next here in Australia.
Yeah, exactly. We're near each other, so
we
will have to see what happens in person.
Thank you, Casey. You take care, and we look forward to chatting with you again soon.